Hey friend, welcome to Girls Night, where we work through life's biggest decisions and transitions together. I'm Stephanie Mae Wilson, and on this show, we talk about the everything era, that wildly confusing decade-ish where we have to make some of the most significant decisions of our lives, typically all at the same time. If you're anything like me, it feels like a lot. How do you even know what you want out of life? And even once you figure that out, how do you make it happen? Well, thankfully, we don't have to figure this out alone. I've invited some of the smartest women I know onto the show to walk us through the topics that keep us up at night. We're going to learn from both their expertise and their experience, and you'll walk away not only knowing what your next step is, but with the support you need to actually take it. No matter who you are, where you come from, or what decisions you end up making, you're welcome here. Get comfy and let's get started. On the show today, we're talking about how to decide if you should stay where you are, move to a new city, or move back home. To walk us through this, I invited my dear friend, book editor turned literary agent, Carly Kellerman, to join us. In this episode, Carly is sharing the story of leaving her home and her community in Michigan for a season to move to Nashville. She was leaving so much behind with that move, a support system and a home that she loved. But she'd say that leaving it all behind for a season was one of the best decisions she's ever made. I can't wait for you to hear why. But then we talk about the decision she made a handful of years later to move back home to Michigan. And she walks us through the expectations and fears and insecurities she had to overcome when making that decision. Friends, if you've ever contemplated moving to a new city or moving back home, but you're not sure what your next step should be, this conversation is for you. One of my favorite things Carly says in this episode is, you have to take the steps in front of you and do it with boldness and hope and strategy and faith. Yes to that. You ready? Let's dive in. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As many of you know, I recently wrote a book, and while it was the most rewarding project of my career so far, it also came with a lot of hard work and long nights. And sometimes when things started to feel a little bit overwhelming, I needed to get a few things off my chest so I could clear my mind and keep the writing process flowing. And the thing that helped me so much to sort through those feelings was therapy. Now tell me if any of this sounds familiar. Maybe you're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. Maybe you frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged. Maybe you really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or maybe you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing. That is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is easier said than done, and that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or if you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if you're feeling stressed and you need help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful that they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/friendship. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you. Okay, friends, I am just thrilled about who I'm sitting here with today. I'm sitting here with my real life dear friend, turned book editor, turned book agent, Carly Kellerman. Carly, welcome to Girls' Night.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad to be here.
It feels so special to have you here. We'll have to, if we get into the depths of how much you matter to Girls' Night, we will be here for a very long time. So instead, let me just say, I'm so happy for you to get to hear from Carly. She's someone who speaks into my life so regularly and with such wisdom. She's also so much fun. And so I'm thrilled to get to have my friends connect again. Carly, for women who don't know you yet, can you tell us who you are, what you do, and a fun fact about yourself?
Well, thank you for that very lovely introduction. You're incredibly generous. And it's one of the greatest delights of my life to get to work with you in so many ways and be real life friends. So yay for us. We're doing it.
Yay for us.
My name is Carly Kellerman. As Stephanie said, I am a former editor, associate publisher in the publishing world. And I recently moved over to be a literary agent to work a little bit more closely with authors, help them curate their message and advocate for them across the board with editorial and publishing partners in the industry, which has just been a dream come true on so many levels. So that's an exciting, relatively recent development. And a fun fact is that I have a hot sauce problem. In as much as I want all of them, in as much as I literally have like at least 15 items in my refrigerator at this exact moment to make your food spicier.
Okay. We have to like elaborate a little bit because it's not just hot sauce.
No, I mean, you've got and chilies, you've got your sambal, you've got, actually, can I tell you?
Yeah.
There's a little boutique in my neck of the woods called Fromage, and it's like a specialty store devoted to hot sauce and pickled goods. And in walking in there, I was like, I have unlocked a new dream now. Like if I could have a boutique specialty grocery dedicated to condiments, I could die happy.
Oh my gosh. Because pickled goods are absolutely part of the thing for you. And then also like salt. Like
yes,
salt is not one kind. No. I mean, like if you saw my salt collection, you'd be so disappointed. Especially now. Like
that. They're so fine nowadays. I'm really all about the condiments, I guess. I'll introduce it. Like hot sauce is a gateway, but it's all about the sauce. You know, I like an accessory in my life and on my food. And that's what I think a condiment is really meant to be.
Oh my gosh. This is what everything in the world does. Yes, this. Mm-hmm. So Carly, we are going to, I just, we're going to have to do a whole episode, at least one, about all things book. I would love for us to talk about, like, you know, my publishing journey, your publishing journey, how they've intersected. Yeah. For anyone who's wanting to write and publish a book, like, you are the person that, like, makes our hands sweat. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, she, like, works in publishing. Okay, she's an agent. Like, she's, I mean, you are the person that we want to pick your brain a million times over about book publishing, because I know that writing a book and publishing a book is a dream for so many of us. We will talk about that another day. I today am so excited to talk to you, not as a professional literary queen that you are, but as a person who has both moved away and moved back home. This is something that is so tender for me. Like, as a I moved away from home, and being away from home has so many feelings. And I know that women in our community are so many of us are in this place of thinking about, is it time to make a locational change? Mm-hmm. How does my family factor into that? And then also, maybe you have moved away from home. Is it time to go back? And, like, all of those come with a million feelings. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to hear, first of all, can you tell us about the decision you made to leave your hometown in Michigan to move to Nashville? Like, tell us the story about how that came about.
I'm going to attempt to make this a Cliff Notes version, but the basis that we need to understand about this move on my part is I have always, my entire life, felt a very sharp duality between loving home in every meaning of the word. I love my corner of Michigan. I love being involved with my family. I've often joked that my big fat Greek wedding, the movie, feels a little autobiographical because I've got, like, I mean, I graduated with, what, 5 cousins in my literal class at my literal high school. It's enmeshed. It's big. It's loud. It's mostly fun, a little sticky sometimes, but mostly great. I love home, but I have also always felt an equally strong pull of wanderlust and adventure and imagining myself as a big city gal and what have you. And so those things always felt a little bit in opposition to each other, which I was able to kind of navigate for a while by leaving my actual hometown and living in Grand Rapids, which is an hour away. And I love that city. It's a great, great city. But around, I don't know, 25 or 26, things had just started taking a turn. I was starting to feel like everything was kind of stalling out, right? I was not seeing anyone that kept me there. All of my friends were getting married, starting to have babies. I kind of felt a little bit behind in that regard. I had an entry-level position at a company that I was really thrilled to be a part of, but I didn't see a clear path forward there in the Grand Rapids office specifically. And I was starting to feel like a secondary character in my own life. Like, I existed to support the narratives around me instead of having agency to do it myself. And so there were some really interesting conversations coming out of the Nashville area. It seemed like every author I was looking at or reading or all these things just started coalescing around Nashville. And in a not so ironic twist, my company also had a location in that office. So I kind of bootstrapped my way down. I drove my parents' car. I slept on your couch. I just camped out with my laptop in the Nashville office and strong-armed a couple of conversations and ended up getting a job offer to work out of that office and moving.
What were some of the things that, I mean, you said stalling out, but I want to hear you touch on that a little bit more. What were some of the things that were like, I need a change, or like some of the things that we can look for in our own lives that might be pointing to, like, not like I need to, I don't know, work on my self-care regimen, but more like I need to pack some boxes and borrow a car and drive, move to a different place.
I would say a theme of how I think about these kind of life choices, whether it's moving or any major transition really, is it comes down to the self-awareness and the bravery to be really honest. I knew that if I stayed in Michigan, I was really afraid that I would always wonder what would have happened if it, what would have happened if I had left. Mm-hmm. I had seen some friends make big moves, cross-country moves by themselves, and I saw so much growth coming out of that for them. And I thought, you know, I was a relatively healthy individual. I was pursuing things outside of my comfort zone in the context of being close to home. You know, I'd gone away to college not knowing anybody. I'd traveled the world after I graduated college and was way outside of my comfort zone for a while. And all of these things, I was taking all of these steps to be a healthy, actualized adult. But I just felt like there was a piece of the puzzle missing. And based on what I was seeing around me from friends who'd made the moves and from that fear that I was going to miss having taken the opportunity, I just knew it was something I had to do.
What reservations did you have about it?
A lot. Several. I mean, so at that, in that era, I always knew I was going to be an aunt before I was going to be a mom. Just looking at my family, I was like, that is likely going to be the order of events. And so right when I was kind of like starting to weigh the pros and cons very heavily of moving away, my sister said she was pregnant with my first nephew. And that was like, well, I guess I stay forever. And it was, again, that duality of like, the inclination to stay had never felt stronger. There'd never been a bigger reason. But there was also, that was proof positive of the fact that if I stay, I'm orienting my entire life around other people and not in the selfless good way. Do you know what I'm saying? It felt like I've never wanted to stay more because of that baby, but I never knew I needed to leave more clearly because of that as well. So that family draw was a big thing. Finances. I mean, Michigan is wildly affordable. And while Nashville, especially back then, seemed like, you know, it wasn't like moving to New York or LA, it was a big, big step up in cost of living. And I was entry-level publishing. I'm not making money. I'm driving this, you know, just beater of a car that broke down every other week. I mean, I was not in the best financial shape at that move. And I was really freaked out. I was going to do irreparable damage and like never be able to get ahead, you know? And there were people that I was very fond of and cared for very much in Grand Rapids. One person in particular who I was like, what if I'm throwing something away here? But ultimately, I just knew that I had to make that move. And I'm, spoiler alert, wildly glad that I did.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Did you have like a timeline or like a time limit? Did you say like, I'm going to move to Nashville for a year or like, or were you thinking I'm going to move forever? And the reason I'm asking is when I moved away from Colorado, I moved away thinking that I would be gone for like 6 months. Like yeah. That's, I took a position that was supposed to be temporary or they said that I could work remotely. This was like way before remote working was a thing, but they said I could work remotely after about 6 months. But then I moved there and I met Carl, and like I still don't live in Colorado, and that's it's been years now. But so I really thought, like, I think if you would have said, "Hey, are you moving away forever?" Like, I don't know that I would have been able to go. Did you have kind of a time frame?
I don't remember putting like an actual number on it, but I left knowing very, very clearly that the same highway that got me there was going to get me back one day. And I always knew I would move home. That was a non-negotiable to me, but I knew I needed to go at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's The truth that you can make a decision for a season and it doesn't have to be forever is so helpful. Like, yeah. It just, I don't know, making any sort of decision forever is so intimidating. Like, well, and also unrealistic. Like, we don't know what forever holds. Yeah.
And there were definitely times, I mean, there was definitely a stretch during those years that I was in Nashville that I thought, what if I didn't go back? Like, what if this was where we landed or somewhere else? You know, one of the big inciting incidents that made me brave enough to go in the first place was your wedding weekend. You've heard me tell the story 100 times, but I was in Georgia for your wedding, and we were just all kind of hanging out in the pool before the rehearsal dinner and getting ready. And I just remember looking around, and it was this like hazy, hot, sunny day. And, you know, your bridal party was so fun. Of course it was. And I just looked around that pool and thought, I have so many best friends I've never met yet. And that was an incredible feeling, right? And in the same way, that's a touchstone that I come back to often in my life of, I don't know what the future holds, right? It's to say I'm making this decision and it's going to be this way forever feels short-sighted at best and maybe narrow-minded at more. And so there were certainly moments after moving where I thought, maybe we do stay or maybe we go somewhere different entirely. What would I be okay if we never ended up back in Michigan? And it was really important to kind of weigh that out and go back on purpose instead of just because that's what I had always said I was going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to make the decision like fresh all over again as your current self, exactly. Not just fulfilling what your, you know, however many years prior self had decided to do.
Yeah.
What happened when you moved to Nashville?
Oh, let's
meet anyone fun.
Anyone neat? I accidentally met the man I was going to marry about 10 minutes after moving, which was a delightful surprise after just feeling like I was trying to get water out of a rock up in Michigan. Suddenly I was like, hello, Jesse. I mean, it's the most classic and cliche and unhelpful story in the world of like, I finally relaxed and wasn't in a hurry. And then I met the man of my dreams. And I met my husband, Jesse, and we met very quickly and fell in love very quickly. And it was a super fun whirlwind situation. I made incredible friends at the office in Nashville, some of my best friends to this day. I had opportunities professionally that would have been incredibly hard to come by, I imagine, if I'd stayed home. And just really set into motion this chain of events that has led to a really fulfilling and exciting career. Ups and downs, 100%. I'm painting with a very wide brush right now. But by and large, I would not be here where I am today, career-wise, relationship-wise.
Two babies-wise.
If I hadn't moved.
Yeah.
I, to be clear, I think I'd be okay. but I wouldn't be here, and I'm so glad for these specifics.
Yeah, I love that. One thing that I want to mention is that, like, I feel like it's selling your. This is what happens when someone who knows your story is interviewing you. They're like, "What you didn't say." it's dangerous. The power I have.
Yikes!
You did. I feel like you did meet Jesse. Like fairly quickly, and you did relax. Like you were less like white knuckled on trying to figure out your future, trying to make it happen right away. And I think that that's really helpful. But part of what you, like, it wasn't like you were passive, because when you moved to Nashville, you immediately put yourself out there in a really brave, really fun, like really, like almost lighthearted, like I want to use the word silly, but it wasn't silly. It was just like fun. Wait, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I was so thrilled to have a fresh start because, and this is a bigger conversation for perhaps a different context. I felt very much like my hometown I often joke that if the South is the Bible Belt, Southwest Michigan's kind of the coordinating tie clip a little farther north. And so all of my friends, my community in Michigan, it's just, there's this cultural norm of getting married very young. By 24, I had no single friends, literally not one single friend at 24 in my area. And I mean, I guess some people were still dating or like seriously dating or about to get engaged, but I felt so behind. I felt so much pressure. A lot of my girlfriends were having babies very young. People were buying houses. It just felt like, what happened? Like, I thought we were in this together and I'm suddenly in a totally different season of life. And so when I moved to Nashville, it was the first time I'd been around people my age who, you know, some of them were married, sure, or seriously dating, but like they were single people and other people understood what it was to be dating in that moment. And people were building careers in ways that I wasn't experiencing up north. And so it just breathed new life and energy and excitement into how I went about my days. And I moved with the luxury of a couple of built-in friends, you being one of them. And happened onto a team that had some really exciting, fun people that I got to be very close with. I also just kind of put out like a cattle call. And I was like, does anybody know anybody in Nashville? And through that, like a former college roommate had a friend. She's like, you should meet her. And then I had dinner with that girl. And then I just was like, I'm gonna just have a cookout one night. And my roommates, it was just like this like huge, like, just like fun little mixer vibe, you know? And it was just the friends of friends. It was the power of weak ties, which we talk about from Dr. Meg Jay's book, The Defining Decade, all the time. It was incredible. It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Another thing that you did in that, in kind of like, I don't know, like, I feel like you cast a wide net when you got here. And there is something to being said, or there's something to be said about like a fresh start and like not having all of your either your home or forever people like watch you exist.
Yeah.
You know, like it's you have some space from the people whose opinions you've always held the closest, and you're able to like flex some new muscles. You're able to try being like the funny person without someone being like, well, you're not funny. Like you've never been funny, or the like, not you, obviously you've always been funny. But like you're able to be the outgoing one, or you're able to try a new style, or you're able to like, I go by Steph now, not Stephanie, or you know, something like that. It's just without like your, you know, best friend from preschool and your mom being like, what are you trying to be?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It was a really wild moment. The first weekend I woke up in the house that I was living in with girls and just being like, nobody here needs anything from me. And again, it's important and beautiful to be enmeshed in this life and to have people to whom you're responsible and who care for you in return, you know? But I had just gotten to a pretty unhealthy, it felt a little bit like I was a one-sided codependent relationship up at home, you know, where I needed to be needed to feel like I mattered. And so when I left and that was no longer, it wasn't the same, I got to really figure out who I actually wanted to be and practice that instead. And I don't think there was any big like 180 shift. I don't think I was a totally different person, but I just think that my posture got a lot healthier. And, you know, I was able to kind of relax and not be so, like you said, white knuckled on controlling the outcome of every single day.
Can you tell us about your dating marathon?
Yeah.
Bye. I have a reason for asking. And the reason is, I think it is really common for people to hear things like, you know, I just like, it just kind of happened when I, you know, showed up or whatever. But you intentionally like cast your net, and you did so in a way that was like fun and, again, lighthearted, but you like really upped your numbers. Like you upped your odds of meeting someone great. And you were doing that when you met Jesse.
Yeah.
You what?
I said I moved to a bigger city, which certainly helped with the numbers game. Yeah, I don't mean to make this passive. Oh, we bumped into each other in the grocery and it was love at first sight. It wasn't that. It was I suddenly had a lot more free time than I had up in Michigan. And, you know, like most of us do at different points, you're like, I'm just gonna like take a break from the dating scene. I'm just gonna like give myself some time to not think about that. And then I was on a walk with one of my new roommates. We were like, we'd known each other, I don't know, 3 weeks maybe. And we were just kind of getting, just chatting. And she mentioned the dating app Hinge, which was a new one to me. And I'm like, you know what? Actually, that sounds fun. And I think that if I can do this and not make it feel like as big of a deal as it did at home, when, like I said, all of my friends were married, it just felt like I was in a fishbowl and I needed to win the prize. I needed to get married and wrap that up so that I could be taken seriously or like look like an adult to people. And again, in retrospect, I think I put a lot of that pressure on myself, but that didn't make it feel less suffocating in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So I downloaded the app and was just pretty, I mean, you know, I had standards, of course, and I was, I would like to think mostly pretty smart about my choices, but it was just one of those things where I'm like, listen, what do we have to lose here? Like if we matched and we chatted and you don't seem like an actual danger, then let's just meet up in a public place. Anyway, that's a different conversation, but what's the story? It's 17 dates in 17 days.
Oh my gosh. It's so awesome.
And I like to think of it in retrospect as I was dating Nashville. Like it was not the individuals as much as it was like, I was falling in love with this city against the backdrop of these like very silly dates. And I just adopted the mantra, the worse the date, the better the story. And I have several. Mm-hmm. But somewhere in the middle, this guy, Jesse, DM'd me about my profile picture with a tiger. And he said, I'm going to steal that tiger. And I said, he's in Thailand, so good luck. And then he stood me up on our first date, which was a miscommunication. And now we're married with two babies.
I really love it because, I mean, one, you had, when I first moved to Nashville and I was making this a new home, I moved with my new husband, which sounds better or it sounds like less lonely. It probably was and also wasn't in some ways because we were like, not in a fun moment when we moved here. We had no money. We had just lost our jobs. We like were in such transition. I remember for years and maybe even still when I would have the opportunity to go to like a great restaurant, I would ask you for a recommendation because you'd been on like fun dates around town. Carl and I had been like eating our Chipotle leftovers a second day.
And it was more than just boy dates though. It was more than just like guys I was matching with online. It was like meeting new girlfriends and my new work friends taking me to like dive places for hot dogs on lunches. We had Friendship Friday lunches and they were so fun. It was just, it was such a special season of life. You know, I mean, I think about how people reminisce back on high school or college as this very finite amount of time that changed everything. And in a very real way, you know, I went to high school, I went to college, I have experiences like that that I look back on, but Nashville was like the toddlerhood of my adulthood in the best way possible.
I love that. I think the other reason I love the 17 and 17 is that I am probably right on the line between introvert and extrovert. Mm-hmm. And it is, I can make new friends. I would say I'm good at making new friends.
Yeah.
I totally am intimidated by it though, just like everybody else. And I'm the kind of person where like, if I can give myself a gold star or like check a box or like complete a challenge, I am so much more likely to do something. And so if I were to move someplace random again, or when I move someplace random again, I don't know what we will have talked about by this when this comes out, but when next time, if that happens, I find myself someplace new, I really am going to make like a challenge for myself where I'm like, I'm going to have 3 coffee dates every single week, just until I find my people, because just having those baby steps that I can, I'm not responsible for the outcome, but I am responsible for what I put in.
Yeah.
And knowing that if I put this in long enough, I will get to an outcome that I'm happy with. And the same is true of dating. Like, I mean, unless you're really, really barking up the wrong tree, the more you do it, the more people you meet, the more likely you are to meet someone who ends up being great. Exact yeah. same way as friendship. So I just have always been really inspired by that. And I also think when it comes to dating, one of the mistakes that we make that I see women make so often is feeling like you have to have some sort of magical connection with someone online before you meet them in person.
No, that's and the worst. All you can't.
Yeah, all of the data that I've seen, all of the research, all of the anecdotal evidence says the sooner you meet in person, the better, because then you don't spend a month texting with someone who you never are going to have something with. Like, there's just information you can only find when you meet them in person.
Well, and further,
and at the same time, you get to know a great city.
That's exactly, yeah. Okay. You're also just like making that person up. You're filling in the gaps in a way that is, a little bit of a rom-com. And when you're with them and getting to know them in real life, like, they get to inform that in a more meaningful way, And Jesse is, he felt like a cheat code, honestly, in a very meaningful way to how great the experience was. Not only because, you're falling in love, like that's never going to be a bad time, hopefully, but also he'd been here for a few years. He's from Oregon originally, and he'd been pretty established in a friend group. And like, I think, so we went on two dates and then he went back to Oregon for like 3.5 weeks for work. And I just thought, well, that was fun for those two dates, but I don't think I'm ever going to see that guy again. And he just like hit all the right notes as far as like calling and FaceTiming. And like, we were in touch and it was really lovely. And I picked him up from the airport when he got home to Nashville, and I never went on another first date ever again. And our first time going out after he was back in Tennessee was on a pontoon day. One of his, we are friends with this woman who is so fun. I mean, she is a magnet. She like literally, the way Jesse met this woman is one of his friends was sitting next to her on a plane on their way home from California. And all of a sudden, we're real life friends. Like, I stay in her house when we come back and visit Tennessee. And so that was, she had organized this big pontoon day with all of these people. It was bananas. It was so fun. And like literally on that pontoon, I met a girl I ended up living with a couple of months later, and people who were at our wedding. And it's just, like I said, Jesse was a cheat code because he had some stuff established too, but it was amazing. I feel like I learned so much about myself with that move. I experienced things I just never would have if I hadn't have left. And it was the best, it was the absolute best decision I could have made in that season.
What do we do if the people in our life don't support our move? Like a way, whether it's to a new city, whether it's to just a new house, whether it's to like a different country, like what yeah. do we do if we're saying, hey, I think I need this, and our families or our closest people are like, I don't think you should do that.
That's really hard. That's really challenging. And candidly, I was very fortunate to have a lot of support. I think the people who knew me best and loved me most saw that I was kind of floundering at home, and the opportunity was really, really positive. And so I had a lot of support and encouragement. And I never had to feel bad or ashamed or embarrassed if I was like struggling on a day being away. Like, I could be so honest about it, I don't want to skip ahead in the narrative, but when we were talking about moving back, I felt a lot of that kind of internalized shame and fear though about what it would look like and what people would think about me moving back to Michigan. And I think in that case, you seriously, seriously have to weigh who's saying what, again, it comes back to that self-awareness and that honesty with yourself about what is the most important thing to you. What matters the most in your life? And does, a former frenemy get a vote in your ultimate happiness? Like, why is she getting that level of weight in your mental load here? Do you know what I'm saying? So when I was thinking about, when Jesse and I were talking about what it looked like to move back home down the road years later, I thought about a former boss and what she had said to me about my potential. And I thought, what if she thinks I'm throwing it away by going back to a place where there are fewer obvious opportunities? Or this girl who I had been friends with back in the day, and she thought very little of our hometown, you know? Was she going to think I was unimpressive or worse, small-minded and closed-minded for going back to a small town? And then I'm like, when is the last time I spoke to that person? Why do I think she's watching me? Why do I think she would care? And that didn't necessarily like take a little bit of, it took the edge off of it. Let's put it that way. If I spent too much time thinking about it, I still felt a little panicked that she'd think I'm dumb. But then again, I could come right back to, and that matters to me because, like, why should that matter? So I think that was how I dealt with perception of how people saw it. But if people are actually talking to you and saying, I don't think this is the right move for you, I think you need to be very honest about who they are and what their role is in your life. Are they somebody that you trust to have your best instincts and interests in mind? And know that you ultimately get to be the decider. Like, you get to choose, and it's important that you make the choice for yourself on purpose.
Yeah. This is something, I'm so new talking about this that it like makes me nervous every time I say something about it. But that's something we talk about so much in my book.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, so many people are going to have an opinion about what you do.
Yeah.
And that's really, really hard. I'm a people pleaser. I'm a rule follower. Like, it is really hard for me when anybody disagrees with the decisions that I'm making. But ultimately, you are the one who has to live with the consequences of them. Yeah. And so if you, and then also like ultimately you're the only one going, like the person who's speaking into your life, you know, it's hard when it's like a parent.
Yeah.
Your parents should have your best interest at heart, but your parents aren't also in the same spot as you are. They've already built their lives in a lot of ways, and they built them on purpose, or maybe they didn't, but they had a life that they got to build.
Yeah.
This one is yours, and they may have thoughts, they may have opinions, but they may see the world differently than you do. They may want different things for you than you want for yourself. And so they may say like, you should take steps A, B, C, because I want you to get to Z. And you may be like, okay, but I actually want to go to 20. So I feel like I should go like 1, 2, 3. And yeah. both of your ideas can be good, but ultimately like you're the only one who has to either spend your life at Z or at 20.
Yeah.
And they don't, frankly.
Yeah. So when we ended up back in Michigan, we decided instead of living in my hometown, we wanted to buy a house in Grand Rapids. It felt like a softer landing place, coming from a city like Nashville to go to a city to Grand Rapids, because it's got great things going on. It's fun. There's a great community. A lot of my friends from college were still there. There was a church that I loved up there. It felt like this is more us. This is right for us. And I will say that in that context, my parents were like, why would you do that? Why would you move home only to move an hour away from home? Because you have to understand, like, it's like Sunday night dinner kind of vibes, you know? Like, it's a random Thursday and we all end up at my sister's house to watch a football game or something. Like, it's that kind of daily activity. And if you're an hour away from that, you're not going to be a part of it, you know? And it came from such a good place. And I always knew that about my parents, that they wanted us, if we're going to be here, they wanted us here. But it really mattered to me that we were going to end up in Grand Rapids. Spoiler alert, from a strategic and a family standpoint, we ultimately decided that why would we move that far away, that far away? We came from 500 miles away, and then like 50 was too many, but it was. So we did end up buying a house in Kalamazoo, and it ended up being the best decision ever. But to my family's credit, nobody was like actually pressuring us or saying like, you can't do that. It was just kind of navigating it. And honestly, I feel like that kind of opposition gave us what we needed to make the best decision for us.
Yeah. Yeah. How did the conversation of like, it might be time to go home start?
It started about 8 weeks after Jesse and I started dating. It's so silly. And I mean, I don't know. So Jesse and I started dating at the end of May, and then he was back from his work trip in Oregon at the end of June, and probably the first weekend of August that year. On a Wednesday, I was like, hey, do you want to go to the beach this weekend? And he's like, okay. There is no beach in Tennessee. I'm talking about Michigan, on Lake Michigan. And I was like, the beach in Michigan. And he goes, right. And I go, to meet my family. And he's like, yes. I'm like, okay.
I'm like, yes, I was there before you.
Exactly.
I already got there. Yeah.
I just needed to make it really clear. And yeah. So again, this brand new, he's just the most wonderful man in the world. I dragged him up to the beach. My family was all in love with him. It was really fun. And so we're on the shore of Lake Michigan, and it's this romantic moment. And I look up at him and I say, hey, babe. And he's like, yeah. And I go, I have to move back here one day. Like, this is where I end up. And similar to how we got up there in the first place, he goes, I know, we will. And I was like, okay, I'm just making sure. Because if that's going to be a problem, then
this is going to be a problem. Work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was always a known quantity. You know, we have a really warm, involved, helpful family here that we're very close with. Again, from a strategic standpoint, the cost of living allowed us to adapt our lifestyle to homeownership and children and still like have some financial flexibility that mattered a lot to us. We have a lot of support here. And so it was just one of those things where it made a lot of sense. We always knew we wanted to come back. And as far as the when, we got to the point in Nashville where it was like, what is the line? Fish or cut bait? You know, it's like, we either need to buy a house and put down roots here, or go to where we want to put down the roots. Because it was like, we were ready to start talking about babies. We wanted to move out of our apartment and get a house. And we knew that buying a house there would like keep us there for longer, which meant either postponing kids or having kids away from family. And that felt super intimidating to me. So it was just kind of, a logistical and strategic conversation. And Jesse got a job offer one day that was going to allow him to work permanently remotely. Again, this was 2019, so most of us working remotely in some context. Yeah. And that was the moment. So once we had that last piece lined up, and my job was such that I could take it back to Grand Rapids with me. And so that was never the major concern. So we had kind of been laying some groundwork. You know, I took a role within my company specifically that could be in either location. Mm-hmm. We'd pursued this position that Jesse got, knowing that it would allow him the flexibility to be remote. And once he accepted that job, we called my parents and were like, after our lease is up, I think we're heading north.
Oh my gosh.